Hello again, everybody. Martin Zender here. I know that you folks are a lot like me and that you have trouble with fog in your goggles. Whether you're skiing or walking and driving blizzards as I do, or maybe you're just a paintballer stalking your human prey through the woods and you just can't keep that darn fog out of your goggles. I understand, believe me, you need to use what I use, and that's Hoppe's 9 Anti-Fog Solution. Hoppe's, H-O-P-P-E, apostrophe S, 9, the anti-fog solution. This stuff, it's a special anti-fog polymer system. It's not just a polymer. It's a polymer system that adheres to the surface of glass and plastic to form a protective shield against fogging. And that's our enemy, fogging. This stuff really works. I've tried it. I've applied it to my glasses. It keeps the fog out. So I got to warn you this, though. It's flammable. You don't want to be smoking around this or lighting a match especially. It's an eye irritant. Do not spray this into your eyes. Also, it's harmful if swallowed. Do not swallow Hoppe's 9. But Hoppe's 9 is the anti-fog solution. It is the solution to your anti-fogging needs. The new birth versus the new creation. How did I get on this anyway? Oh, yeah. I was speaking on the death of the cross, the depth of the cross, what it teaches, what it means for all humanity, a thing that is so unknown that I teach it like crazy wherever I go. And not many people know about it. They think they know about the cross, but they don't. That's why I have job security. I'm teaching it everywhere. It's too many people ignorant of all the blessings they have in Christ. And the strange thing is that even the circumcision writers, speaking of John and Peter and Jude and James, they do not get into this aspect. I don't know if you knew this, but the circumcision writers do not even teach justification. They teach a pardon of sins. There's a big difference between having your sins pardoned and being justified. In a nutshell, justification is you're not guilty. Pardon is you're guilty, but we're going to overlook the penalty. You can't be pardoned and justified. And Israel, even in the 1,000 years, is not justified. They're still doing law. Justification can only function apart from law. That's where the gospel of Paul comes in. How many times does Paul say, apart from law? Never hear that from Peter, James, or John. The cross wipes out the old humanity. And again, the circumcision writers, while they might have known it, I think Peter knew about Paul's gospel. He still said some things Paul says are hard to understand. He didn't teach it. He realized that Paul had a distinct message. Now, of course, Christ still died, of course, for Israel and the circumcision writers. But it's the manner of his death that spells the end to the old humanity. Consequently, the circumcision gospel does not teach the new humanity. The new humanity is founded on the cross of Christ, not simply the death of Christ. Israel has the new covenant. That involves a reformed humanity, but the new covenant is not the new humanity. Completely different things. You can't just say these are the same. They're not. Otherwise, they'd both be called the same thing. New covenant is not the new humanity. It's not as radical as the new humanity. Nobody knows about the new humanity. It's always the covenant, new covenant. We're under the new covenant. Again, the cross speaks of the manner of his death, that it was so low and so utterly horrible and so painful that it eradicates all fleshly distinctions. But Jesus Christ did not die in his sleep of a heart attack. The fleshly distinctions are what I'm referring to here. And the fleshly distinctions are still important in Israel. Only Paul says there's neither Jew nor Greek. In fact, let's go to Romans 6, verse 3. Are you ignorant that whoever are baptized into Christ Jesus are baptized into his death? We then were entombed together with him through baptism into death. We're only touching on death here. That even as Christ was roused from among the dead through the glory of the Father, thus we also should be walking in newness of life. For if we have become planted together in the likeness of his death, nevertheless, we shall be of the resurrection also, knowing this, that our old humanity was crucified together with him. You see, Paul does not bring up the old humanity being gone until he brings up the word crucified. The old humanity has to do with the manner of Christ's death, not just the fact that he was a sacrifice for sins or the antitype of the Lamb of Israel. And that brings us to 2 Corinthians 5:17, says that, so that if anyone is in Christ, not Jesus, but Christ. Important distinction, going to get into that in a minute. If anyone is in Christ, this is the body of Christ. This is not the bride of the Lamb, which is Israel. If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. The primitive passed by. Lo, there has come new. I don't know if you knew this or not, but, well, the word Jesus, let's do a quick teaching here on the name. Jesus is Greek form of Hebrew Joshua. It was changed to Jehoshua, which is Jehovah Savior. Those are the elements of Jehoshua. Jehovah Savior because he was the Savior provided by Jehovah. And Jehovah, the elements there are will, being, was. This is the tetragrammaton Yahweh, Y-H-W-H. This is the name associated especially with Israel. Christ, however, it's not Jesus' last name. This is his office. It's the Greek equivalent of anointing. It indicates his exaltation to the office of Messiah, exaltation being the key word there. Jesus acquaints us with his flesh. He's the one who saves. Jehoshua, Jehovah Savior. It's the name of his humiliation. Christ, the name of his exaltation. Now, check this out. Christ Jesus, Paul uses the phrase Christ Jesus 85 times. 85 times we hear from Paul's pen, Christ Jesus. The circumcision writers, zero. That's right. Peter, John, the book of Hebrews, James, Jude, Revelation, they never use Christ Jesus. However, Jesus Christ, the circumcision writers use it 19 times. This stuff doesn't happen by accident in the scriptures. Sometimes you read Jesus Christ, sometimes Christ Jesus. What, do you think they just decided, we feel like saying Jesus Christ, and the next day they're writing again, let's make it Christ Jesus. No, there's a reason. Jesus Christ brings us first to his humiliation, his walk on earth, and it's typically a favorite appellation of the Israel writers, of the circumcision, and this is proven by finding out 19 times they use this Jesus Christ. Now, Paul uses it too, 21 times, but 85 times, Paul acquaints us with the exalted Christ first, Christ Jesus. And remember, Paul did not see him until he had been exalted to the right hand of God. The circumcision writers, the apostles, they were familiar with him according to flesh. That's why Paul says, in 2 Corinthians 5, in the same context where we have the new creation, he says, therefore we should know Christ no longer according to flesh. You see, it's a hindrance to know Christ according to flesh. I'm in verse 16 of 2 Corinthians 5, so that we from now on are acquainted with no one according to flesh. That is not a circumcision message. It's not an Israel message. Yet even if we have known Christ according to flesh, nevertheless now we know him so no longer. That's why Paul takes us to Christ Jesus. You say, well, circumcision writers did the same thing. They didn't. You will not find the phrase Christ Jesus in 1 Peter, 2 Peter, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, Jude, James, Hebrews, Revelation. You won't find it. It's Jesus Christ. That's no accident. I'm telling you this because Paul goes further and he goes higher than the other writers of Scripture. Now, I'm not pitting Paul's words against Jesus' words, even though they do. Well, no, I can't even say they contradict because they're different messages. Remember, it was Paul who heard from the resurrected Christ. Jesus said to his disciples, I have more to tell you. I can't say it now. Jesus told Nicodemus when he was talking about being born again, going to get to that. Today, right now, I'm going to get to that. He told him that if I tell you of the terrestrial and you are not believing it, how should it be if I should telling you of the celestial? That's John chapter 3, right? Well, Jesus didn't tell him of the celestial. He had secrets that he did not tell mankind until Paul came along. And Israel, they were so full of baggage. They had so much fleshly baggage they couldn't get past Jesus in the flesh in order to apprehend these higher revelations of justification. And really, maybe, possibly, they're not supposed to. Because as I say, even in the 1,000 years, they're not teaching justification. Someday I'm going to spell out the differences to you. I gave it to you in a nutshell, but the details between justification and pardon. Big difference. The difference, quickly, between new birth and being born again. In the new birth, we're taking the same flesh and we're reforming it. This corresponds to the millennial earth. You know, Israel's going to inherit the earth. I know you preterists out there don't believe that. You think that all of God's promises to Israel were allegorical and they don't apply today. Well, that's because you're ignorant of the secret of Romans 11:25. If you knew the secret of Romans 11:25, you wouldn't believe that. A lot of misappropriated scriptures that try to prove God is finished with Israel and there's no literal kingdom. He's fulfilled it all allegorically in another people in the body of Christ. That is not true. It has to do with the secret of Romans 11:25. Anyway, believe it. Israel as a nation is going to be born again. And this corresponds to the millennial earth. Israel's going to inherit this earth. It's going to be the same terra firma. This same earth is going to be rejuvenated. It's going to have the curse removed. You know that curse God gave when Adam was around? Said he was going to have to plow real hard to get anything to grow. Well, that curse is going to be removed. The thistles are going to be gone and stuff's going to spring up like crazy. Contrast that with the new heavens and the new earth that we hear of in Revelation chapter 21. This current earth is going to be destroyed, wiped out, and we're going to have a new earth. That corresponds to our calling now, a new humanity. We're not a reformed humanity. We're not made again. We're not born again. That's an Israelite message. I got into that in the book, Martin Sender Goes to Hell. If you don't have that book yet, you got to get it. It's going to help you understand this radical change that is ours as members of the body of Christ. Fleshly distinctions are obliterated. And again, this corresponds to the earth being obliterated. That's still future. But we're getting so far ahead in Revelation, in God's program, that Paul actually says in 1 Corinthians 10:11, I'm quoting now, the consummation of the eons have attained to us. The goal that God is going to arrive at the consummation of the eons, is here for us now in spirit. We're apprehending it. And in that sense, we're going far ahead of the revelation God gave to Israel. That's why if you're reading Paul, you're going, wow, some of this stuff is mind-boggling. It seems space age, even compared to the circumcision writers who are still talking about reforming your flesh and sin. At least a pardon is probationary. It can be revoked by its very nature. It can be revoked. People seem to like that because they can do things to keep it. Anything that tells them they can do things to keep it, which a pardon does, they like that realm. Others of us rejoice in justification that we're not even guilty. Strange as it may seem, some people cannot handle that truth. Paul just goes on and talks about justification apart from law, new creation. But this is why people love the circumcision gospel. This is why people love Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and James, and 1 Peter, 2 Peter, Jude, Revelation. They like the physical aspect. They like things according to flesh. They like to work on their sins. They like an earth-based revelation. Paul seems to many people like rocket science. Well, it's not rocket science. It's just hard to accept something so free. It's hard to rest in a thing that's all of God. And it's hard to apprehend that you're not guilty before God. We like to feel guilty because then we can do things in front of other people to get rid of our guilt, to show ourselves worthy of God. With Paul, there is no confidence in the flesh whatsoever. With the circumcision, a little bit. That's why when people are given the choice between the circumcision gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John are trying to understand Paul, they'll take the circumcision every time. It's earthly. It allows a contribution of the flesh. It's still the old humanity. And people are real comfortable there. That's why people get Paul so out of whack. They try to make Paul fit in and he just won't do it. I know I told you some of this last week, but remember the bookcase. You take Paul out of the bookcase, the other books snap together and you have one continuous revelation. Paul does not belong. Now you're learning how radical this really is. The consummations of the eons have attained to us in the body of Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, praise God. And I still haven't answered the question I said I was going to, that I've been taunting you with for days. Does God choose people first and then call them, or does he call them first and then choose them? Woo! We're going to get to that next week. Let's call it Monday. You have a good weekend, and believe in God no matter what the clergy tell you.